Hey, welcome to the Christ Fellowship Podcast. This is Derek. Man, we are pumped that you're joining us today. We are in a series entitled Higher, where we're looking at Isaiah 55, where God's ways are higher, His thoughts are higher, and we've been leaning into those in lots of different areas. And today, we're going to take a fresh look at worship. What is worship? What is acceptable worship? How do we enter into a lifestyle of worship? So I want to encourage you, grab your Bible, grab your notes. Let's dig in and see what God's view of worship is. Hey, extra brownie points if you say O-H. Oh, we got an I-O back there. Thank you for that. Yes. So this is what I love. I love mixing up the service. You know, like how like everybody comes into church and you're like, we're going to sing three songs in the message. And then you're like, one song and what are we doing? Oh my God, anybody confused right now? Hey, if you want to watch something funny, people are going to continue to walk in while I'm preaching. They're going to be like, well, look at me like this. Like, what's going on? Hey, it's so good to be with you this morning. We got some guests here. Welcome. Man, my name is Derek, and it's an honor to be part of this community. Such an honor to be part of this community. And we love the presence of God, and we're learning how to engage with Him, to not just hear from Him, but then to listen and to obey what He's leading us into. Now, last night, I don't know about you, but man, we watched a good football game last night. And let me be honest with you, a few times I thought it was over. I was like, man, what, that fourth down call around the edge, I'm like, that wasn't the best call. I may have said a few words to the TV. And yet, at the end of the game, all of our family had come up into the living room, and my two dogs getting a little crazy. That fourth down, or I think it's third and, I don't know, forever play, caught it. And then the last play of the game last night, and Ohio State scores the go-ahead touchdown. It was pandemonium in our house. I was screaming, running around, giving them high fives. Our little white dog, somehow somebody kicked it, and it was flying across the floor. Our other dog's jumping up and down. Our kids are screaming. I didn't know if I'd have a voice this morning. And it was just a fun family moment, right? And as I was thinking about that this morning, like, it's interesting because what I want to talk about today, that's kind of like what we were doing last night as a family. Our response to what was happening on a TV screen that was actually a game that was happening in Indiana, our response to that was like, wow, this is worthy of getting excited about. Anybody ever been to a game like that? Ever had that? Like, how many of you have ever stood more than 30 minutes at a football game or a basketball game? Anybody? Come on, just be honest. Yeah, oh. Interesting, right? And so last night we were celebrating. What were we doing? What was our celebration? What were high fives? We're saying that play on the field was worthy of our celebration. It was worthy of our woo, yes, worthy of our claps, worthy of our poor little dog getting kicked across the floor. It was worthy of that. And so today what I want to talk about is I want to talk about worship. Worship. There's so much confusion around worship. And so today I want to look at the scriptures as we're in this higher series. And today what I want us to do is, my prayer is for you this week has been that we would get a revelation of how God views worship. How God views worship. And I love how the scriptures all throughout, I'm going to pull a bunch of different scriptures together, so you might not be able to turn your Bible unless you're, you know, a guru with that. But like, I want to pull through the scriptures, and I want to show us, like, what is God's view of worship? And the first question we should ask is, what is worship? Now, Jesus, when he's being tempted in the wilderness, we talked about the enemy last week and how he tempts us and how he lies and he's the father of lies. And we talked about how do we combat that with truth. Somebody say amen. That's how we defeat the enemy, with truth. We gird ourselves with truth. And so Jesus is in the midst of this temptation. He's at the third temptation. And Satan takes him up and says, hey, Jesus, you can have all of the kingdoms of the earth if you will just bow down in what? What's that word? Worship who? Satan. Me. This is what Satan was saying. Worship Satan. And this is Jesus' response. I love Jesus' response. He said to him, be gone, Satan. Do you know you can say that, by the way? You know, you can say, nope, I ain't doing that today, Satan. You have the authority to do that. You're made in his image. He says, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall what? Okay, come on now, guys. I know it's early. You shall what? Worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You shall worship. Jesus is making a definitive statement. Now, he's quoting back from Deuteronomy, and in Deuteronomy, this word was a word that means come under authority or submit to. And then the Greek word here that Jesus is using is a word that means to visibly show reverence and honor, often by kneeling. It's an expression that shows reverence and honor. That's what worship really is. So what is worship? It's an expression of worth, of adoration, and reverence. And so on some level last night, we were showing adoration to our alma mater, and we were showing value, and we were showing adoration and worth and reverence. And what happens in worship is this is how it's expressed. It's expressed through giving. Everybody say giving. Giving. It's giving. Worship is expressed through giving. Giving what? Giving anything of worth. So it could be your attention. It could be your words. It could be your thoughts. Do you know that you can worship God by the things you think? The things you choose to think about? It could be your attitude. It could be your finances, your resources. Worship is an expression of giving, and I'm giving to something that I deem worthy. So the reason why we go to a football game and pay whatever we pay is because we think it's worth it. The reason why we stand for 3 hours sometimes and we cheer for a team that may not be very good sometimes is because we think they're worth it, right? And so here's what we gotta see. It is worship. It's our response. It's what we give. It comes at a cost. It's what we give. But what we're talking about here today is worship of the one true God. And today what I want you to see is that our worship of God is rooted in his character, his wisdom, his action. Our worship of God is rooted in his character, his wisdom, his action. You know what's not in that list? You. My preferences, your preferences, my experiences, your experiences, our response to God, our giving is based on who he is and what he's done. This is true worship. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. This word is, this verse has always just kind of stuck out to me. It says, offer acceptable worship to God. Do you know what that infers? That there is unacceptable worship that we can offer to God. Isn't that interesting? And so today, what I want to do is I want to unpack in some real practical ways. The engineer in me has come out. I've got some lists that I think will help us give some framework to what is worship, what's acceptable worship. And then we're going to move into, after the message, and a time where we are going to step into actually worshiping from the revelation that we see in the scriptures today. So I've got a list here that I want to give you that I think is really helpful when we think about worship, especially when we think about acceptable worship. Here's a list of what worship is. Number one, it's an offering to and for God. Acceptable worship is intended to be given to God, and it's for God. We've got to recognize this. It does come at a cost. When I offer up my attention, that comes at a cost. When I give on and tithes and offerings, that comes at a cost. Like there is a cost, but that worship that's acceptable, it is to God and for God. It's all about God. Once again, you and I aren't part of that equation. It's about God, it's for God. The second thing is worship is not dependent on feelings. Somebody say preach that right there, right? I love all the feels. I do. I love all the feels. I love when we're in a gathering and we're worshiping and we're caught up and the manifest presence of God is here. The glory of God is heavy. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And we say, Lord, more of that. Can we just say yes, more of that? But here's the thing is we do serve a God and we're in relationship with a God that is emotional. Do you know that God is emotional? He has emotions. He created us in his image. Therefore, emotions are not bad, okay? Emotions are not bad, but we can't live by our emotions. So there are times when worship, when I'm worshiping God, and it is like I feel it, and so it's easy, but I'm telling you, like, real acceptable worship does not depend on my emotions. Sometimes I've said this in the past, man, I didn't feel like worshiping today. Or man, I wasn't feeling that song today, so I struggled to worship. I've said that before. And you know what that is? That's a very me-centric view of worship. I didn't feel it. I didn't feel that song. I didn't feel that. Man, why'd we do? That's a very me-centric way. And so I'm not saying today that we should fake it. Like, I don't, you know our church. We're never a fake it till you make it kind of church. But in the moments where I don't feel it, what do I have to do? I've got to anchor myself in the truth of what am I actually doing and who am I doing it for? So if my worship is a response to God and I'm not feeling it today and something's going wrong today or I've got some things hanging on me today, I've got some things I'm navigating today, then my response to God, maybe my truest response to God is saying, God, I'm distracted today, so I'm gonna be here, I'm gonna be present and I'm gonna pour out my prayer to you or I'm gonna sit here and silence you, but I'm gonna do it unto the Lord. It's not dependent on our feelings. And so sometimes, honestly, just showing up can be an act of worship. And I love how my wife a few weeks ago talked about, like, we don't want you to just act like, leave it at the door and act like somehow there's like a coat hanging service for everything you're going with. No, we're a church that says, hey, bring it in here, let it sit with you, and let's let God lead you into healing, give you hope in it. And so we bring authenticity to God. We want to pour out our hearts. Sometimes our greatest act of worship is just saying, God, I'm angry right now. Like, do you know that your prayers are acts of worship? Because what is it? It's a response to God. And sometimes our response to God, there are so many things going wrong in my life. I don't understand. Where are you? That's a beautiful act of worship because when I say that to God, what am I actually doing? I'm trusting that he's good and that he's actually able to take my struggles and my doubts and my questions. And so our worship is not dependent upon our feelings. And this next one is critical, is our worship is an option in every season, in every situation. Acts chapter 16, if you have your Bible, you can flip over there. I love the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16, we got Peter and Silas. And I want to read just a little bit of this to you. And pick up in verse 23. So remember, we're talking about worship is an option in every season and every situation. So verse 23, chapter 16 of Acts, it says, and when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Look at verse 25. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What were they doing? They were worshiping. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. And to me, this is such an encouragement. In every season, in every circumstance, worshiping God for who he is, what he has done, what he is capable of, is an option, even in the darkness of the pit. Worship is an option. And I would say it's a decision. I'm gonna tell you, I don't think Paul and Silas had all the warm and feel things. Like, they weren't rolling in here with a coffee and excited about lunch afterwards. No. They were beaten, like physically beaten, put in prison, stocks on their feet and hands and then put on the inside of the prison. And in the midst of that situation, what are they found doing? Worshiping God. And some of you just need to know that no matter what season you're in, whether you're super disappointed, whether you're frustrated, whether you've been let down, that you have an option, you have a decision to make. What's your response gonna be? Are you gonna respond to God or are you gonna respond to the circumstances? Worship, worship. Fourth thing is that worship is God's intention for humanity. We are created to worship. We are created to respond to God. That's why he gave us a voice. That's why he gave us hands to clap, that we are created. You and I, we have the capacity to be with God, to recognize God, to talk to God, to sing to God, to clap to God, to dance. We are created to worship. That's part of how he created humanity. We see this from the very early stages. Adam and Eve are with God. And what are they doing? They're responding to God. They're in relationship with God. They're talking with God and they are responding to him. That is our act of worship. It's our act of worship. You and I are created to worship. And the fifth one, and I love this one, is that worship is diverse in expression. It's not one size fits all. How many of you have a favorite worship song besides me? I have a favorite worship song, yeah? How many of you know sometimes we can worship to bluegrass? Anybody else say amen to that? Come on, preach it, Derek, yeah? How many of you know we can also worship to hymns? Anybody know that? Yeah, we got that, right? Check that off the list. How many of you know you can worship to hip hop? Oh, you're like, can we? Is that legal? Right? How many also you know you can worship in silence? Wow. Let me just give you a few biblical diverse expressions of worship. Kneeling down before the Lord, bowing down, face to the ground, serving, singing, obedience. It's an act of worship. Isn't that beautiful? Obedience. Shouting, woo! Clapping, dancing. All of these, when done unto the Lord, are acts of worship. But that's so critical. And I want to just like stress this for a moment, that it's less about the act and it's less about our preference and it's more unto who are we doing it. Do you know that when I preach up here, it can be an act of service when it's done unto the Lord. But let me just be clear to this. If someone gets up here and preaches and it's unto man, it's not an acceptable act of worship. So our worship team, when they're leading, if they're leading in a way that is just about you guys in our church and trying to get you to like them, that is not acceptable worship. If they're bypassing and not following the leadership of the Holy Spirit to do it unto the Lord. So even leading worship doesn't mean they're actually worshiping. And the same is true for us. And this is where I wanna blow up our thinking, because in worship, especially in the Bible, but worship is boiled down to an hour, hour and a half on a Sunday morning. And the Lord's like, no, it's anything done unto the Lord. And so that means, like, listen to this. Like, if you're working on a spreadsheet tomorrow morning at work, come on, numbers people. And instead of just going through the motions, you're like, you know what I'm gonna do today? I'm gonna do this spreadsheet unto the Lord and not unto man. Guess what that can become? An act of worship. For our third grade teachers in the room today, we bless you, man. One more week till fall break. Come on, keep it going. Let's go. But this week, when you recognize that you're tired, you're frustrated, that same kid has asked the question for the 30th time in a row. And you say, you know what? I'm gonna do this under the Lord. And I say, Holy Spirit, would you continue to show me truth about each one of these kids? Will you give me the endurance and the strength that I need? I'm gonna do this job under the Lord. You know that's an act of worship that's acceptable to the Lord? If you're raising kids, God bless you, right? If you do it unto the Lord and say, Lord, I want these kids to encounter your presence. I want them to know your love. I want to raise them to know God. That can be a beautiful act of worship. If you're retired, we got some retired people in the house today. Come on now. Some of you getting excited, raising the roof up in here. Yes. If you're retired, let me just challenge you. Like, God's not done with you. Can we just get an amen in the house today? Like if you're retired, the way you leverage the hours in your day can be an act of worship. I wanna challenge you in that. Listen, our church needs our retirees, our prime time. We need you to continue to live a life of worship so the younger people can see and can be encouraged. How we spend our money or invest our money can be a beautiful act of worship when it's done unto the Lord. So whether we're singing hymns or hip hop, when it's done unto the Lord, it makes an acceptable offering, a giving. And I don't think it's all bad that sometimes we think of worship as singing, you know? When I read the scriptures and when I look at church history, what I see is that singing and music are long-standing expressions of worship, and they will continue for all of eternity. So yeah, man, I want you to know, like, let's blow up the box of what worship is. Let's like get it way bigger. Like everything we do has the potential of being unto the Lord. That means everything we do is a response to God. And so I want you to think about this week, what does my worship look like? What am I doing with my hands and putting my mind to? But now I want to shift, like, because worship is part of what we do as we gather together and we sing, I want you to be reminded, man, singing to the Lord has been done for a long time. And I want to encourage you that the book of Revelation tells us that they're going to be singing a song in heaven forever. That means whether you like music or not, it's going to be around for a long time. Whether you like singing or you don't, oh, I hate to break the news to you, there's going to be singing for all of eternity. So the question we should ask today is why do we sing? Sometimes I wonder that. I think a lot of us say, like, why are we singing? Why don't we just open up the book and read it? Why don't we just open the Bible and somebody preach up here? Why do we sing? I love this question. And honestly, I wish every single person would understand the depth of why do we sing. Is it just because we want to sound good together? No. Let me just give you a couple reasons why we sing. Number one reason I think why we sing is because it unifies the community. Something happens in the room when we are all together, putting our voices together, singing a song, singing truth, with our eyes focused on it. Something happens, even in the unseen, where our hearts are knit together. There's a unification that happens in the room. I love how Psalm 134 says, "Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord." It's this picture of us coming together, drawing together. And throughout the scriptures, you'll see significant things happen, like Exodus, when Moses leads them out of Egypt. What do they do immediately out of getting after the Red Sea? It's very interesting. If you go look in Exodus, what's the first thing they do after they get through the Red Sea? Do they have a party? Kind of, but you know, before that, they sing a song together. Wow. There's something happens when a group of people sing to God, about God, and for God. It unifies the community. It knits our hearts together. As we set our eyes on Jesus, as we lay down our differences. Like, I love the fact that we come together, and I've said this before, but our church here, like, there's so much diversity in social economics, politically, like our backgrounds, ethnicities, races, like we're getting more and more diverse. And I think it's so beautiful. And I think it's such a picture of heaven that when we come together on a Sunday morning and we're all singing with one voice, that we're unified with all these differences. Isn't that beautiful, by the way? It's actually the picture we see in Revelation that one day all tribes, all tongues, all nations are gonna sing with one voice to the King of Kings, the Lamb that was slain. And so why do we sing? Because it unifies us as a community. Second reason why we sing is it reminds us of who God is and what he has done. I'm not going to read all of Psalm 105, but it just gives us a picture, I think, of remembering. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember, there's that word, remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and his judgments he uttered. Remember. So when we gather together on a Sunday, or when you gather in houses all over the Tri-Cities, and maybe you have a moment where you sing together in small group, when we gather together, what are we doing? We're reminding ourselves of who God is. When we sing a song, this is who you are. You perform miracles. We're reminding ourselves, this is who God is. When we sing, God, you are faithful, we're reminding ourselves, God, you are faithful. And I don't know about you, but what I know, and it's super humbling, honestly, as a pastor, is you'll remember a song way more than my point two in this message. Like, God created us, actually, where our brains function actually even better when truth is paired with melody. And we know that's true because, you know, I could sing any song right now, and most of us would jump in. Let me just try. Let me make one up. I didn't plan this, but... Jesus loves me. Oh, don't break my heart. Some of y'all, heathens up in here, right? Why is that? Because God made us with the capacity to couple words with melodies and we remember it. I'm telling you, honestly, it's sad. You'll probably remember that we sang Anky Breaky Heart and not this point right now. And I know that, but that's why we're gonna sing three songs to infiltrate your spirit of truth. And I just need you to know, as a church, we take very seriously the words that we sing. You need to hear this. Like, we don't sit in a room and say, what are the top 50 Christian hits right now on the radio? We don't do that. And God bless the church that do that. Bless them, Lord, yes. But you just need to know, we are very purposed in selecting the songs that we feel like the Lord is highlighting, because we know the power when a community sings together and how you remember things. And so I would encourage you some Sunday, maybe even as we sing here in just a few minutes, that you would lean into, what are the words we're really singing? Man, I like the song, but like, what's the truth that we're singing together? Because I'm telling you, like, it's powerful and it's needed. The truth that we sing, it goes down deep into our souls. It reminds us about who God is. And then not only that, it reminds us of what God has done in the past. It shifts our perspective to what he's doing now. And it anchors us in the faith for what he will do in the future. Past, present, future. When we sing, this all happens. And I don't know about you, but remembering what God did anchors my hope in what God can do in the future. Anybody else believe that? That's why we sing about how God has moved in the past. That's why the Psalms oftentimes are talking about what God did in the past, how he parted the Red Sea, how he provided food in the wilderness. They were reminding themselves of what God had done in the past, so it would stir their hope for what he could do in the future. Singing helps us remember. Singing also, it changes the atmosphere in our hearts. When we sing together in a corporate gathering, when we sing together, things change. Atmosphere changes. Our hearts change. We see this. David was brought into Saul's crew, and Saul was navigating with some heaviness, some oppressive spirits, and he would bring David in. And this is what 1 Samuel 16 says, is whenever the harmful spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. So he played an instrument. Look what happened as he did this. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him. How did that spirit of heaviness lift off of him? Through songs and music that are played under the Lord. See, when we sing together, when we have corporate singing, there's something happens in the atmosphere. Things shift. Paul and Silas worshiping in the inner chamber of the prison. Things changed. Boom. Jericho walking around the wall seven times. Everybody play under the Lord. Walls come crashing down. In my own life, there's been so many encounters with the Lord in worship. Powerful encounters, life-changing encounters. Because when a group of people get together and they set their eyes on God and they're willing to recognize his presence and minister to him first, things happen. The atmosphere changes, our hearts change. And so why do we sing? Is it a warm up for the message? No. It's actually us abiding, us loving God, which is the first and greatest commandment. That's why we sing. Love God. The last one I think is honestly the most provoking reason why we sing together, and it's that God sings, and he seems to like when we sing. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save, and he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. Listen to this. He will exalt over you with loud singing. Think about that. I want you to picture God, which is in itself insane to even think about, but think about God, and I want you to think about him singing over you with not just like, Jesus loves me. No, like loud singing over you. This is God. And so why do we sing? You and I, we're made in his image. And so if we have a God that we're made in his image and that God sings, guess what we're created to do? To sing, to respond to him. So why do we sing? Because God sings. Because God also seems to like when we sing. The scripture is filled with him. I only got two here. Psalm 100 verse 2, make a noise, a joyful noise to the Lord. Not a in-pitch noise, thank you that, but a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with what? Wow, there's a key right there. We come into his presence with what? Singing. Interesting, right? So we see God must like singing. He must like when his people sing. And there's a New Testament passage because sometimes we get stuck in the Psalms when we're talking about singing. This is Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. It's what we're doing right now. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiveness or thankfulness in your hearts to God. I don't know if we need another reason why we sing this morning other than God seems to like when his people sing. And he actually tells us to sing. And we want to be a church that is anchored in the word of God. Anybody else want that? I want that more than anything else. I want us to be anchored in the truth of who God is. And I can't help but when I read the scripture, God loves when his people sing. So we, by God's grace, man, we're stepping more and more into this. And I can't tell you how proud I am and how grateful I am that we are growing as a community and being a singing church. Some mornings I just listen to your voices and I give thanks to the Lord that we're a church that doesn't just watch a performance. How many of you know that's not in the Bible? Spectating and watching somebody sing on stage is not what church is about. Our gatherings on Sunday morning are about us coming together with one voice, making honor, giving honor and glory to God, participating. Now here's the challenge that we have as, I think, as followers of Jesus, as our culture, is I don't actually think we have a worship problem in our culture. I think we find lots of things to worship. Just like last night, man, I was getting after it on the TV. Like I was celebrating, and some of y'all, if I was acting that way this morning, you'd be like, man, what got into Derek? Which we shouldn't, it's interesting. Isn't it? It's interesting. What's acceptable one place, not here? Oh, it's interesting. But I don't think we have a worship problem. I think we have a perspective problem. See, my challenge as a pastor, sometimes like I just wanna get truth and I wanna like, man, put it inside of you. And I'm like, man, I know if you get this truth, like your life will change. But here's what I know is like, you can't be taught worship. Like I teach today, like give some parameters to try to break down the lies, but I can't teach the worship. Worship, listen to this, this is so key. Our worship is always hindered by a revelation of God. So the ceiling of our worship, and I'm not just talking about a Sunday morning raise your hand worship, although that could be part of it. I'm talking about a life of responding to God. It is limited. The ceiling of your worship of your life is limited to how you view God. So if I've got a small view of God, guess what? My life of worship is gonna be really minuscule. But as the revelation of the glory of God, the revelation of the power of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, as we begin to see God more rightly and rightly, guess what? Our worship, our response to God gets more and more aligned with who God really is. And so this morning, I'm gonna pray just for you, just for a revelation right now. a deeper revelation of who God is. And then as we move into singing this morning, that our response to him will grow as our view of him. So I'm gonna ask you to stand up right now. We're gonna move into singing some songs. We're gonna start out like we oftentimes do by singing about gratitude. Scriptures tell us that we come into his presence with singing, but also it comes into his presence with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. So let's just take a moment and let's just take a deep breath with the Lord. I'd encourage you maybe just close your eyes for a moment. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are not only with us, you're in us. And we thank you that you are the one who reveals Jesus to us. And Jesus, we thank you that you reveal the Father to us. So just right now, if this is your heart, would you just say, God, would you just allow me to have a deeper understanding of your love for me? Of your mercy, of your grace, of your justice, of your power, of your beauty, of your faithfulness. Just right now, would you just take a moment, just think about a time where you felt like you dropped the ball. A time where maybe you felt like, man, somehow I let God down. Just think about that for a moment. Sometimes that's hard to go to, but let's just think about that for a moment. Maybe it was last night. Maybe it was something on the way in the morning, the way you spoke to your kids, and you're like, man, I missed it, darn it. And now right now, as we have that thought, as we have that, can we just move into a thanksgiving that even when we're not faithful, God is faithful? Can we just praise him today that there is nothing standing between us and the presence of God? Nothing. He says you enter into the throne room by the blood of Jesus, not by your performance. Not by how you performed last night or this week or a month ago or how you've lived even the last couple years. No, no, no. Today, our worship is not dependent upon anything we've done, not our feelings, not our emotions, but it's purely rooted. Our response is about him. Who he is, how faithful he's been. In the night, he's been the light. In the doubt, he's been our hope. So Lord, we thank you. So just move in. We're gonna sing this song called Gratitude. Can we just move into a moment of just giving thanks to the Lord? Just you and the Lord right now, as we enter into the song, just begin to lift up thanks to the Lord that he's been so faithful over the years. That he's always been for you, that he's always been present, that his love for you has never changed. No matter what you've ever done, it's never changed. It's never made him question, do I love him? No, 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 I've always loved him. From the foundations of the earth, I love him. So just lift up thanksgiving as we enter into the song.